we got to get going. Father, I love you. I thank you for today. I thank you for being good to us, Lord. I thank you for your word and just being able to be in it every day. There are people around the world that that don't even know your word, have an opportunity to handle your word, and yet we have direct access to it. And so I just thank you for that. I thank you for the truth that's in it. I thank you for new life in you. And Lord, I thank you for just good reports of things that are happening this week with our reading groups and different things already. And Lord, I praise you for things going well with Dwayne's surgery earlier this week. I pray that you just continue to heal him up and just get their family back to healthy. And so Lord, I do pray for just the physical health of the Past Point class and even the church in general. There's just a lot of things going around, and I do pray that, you know, we can stay focused on you, that we don't allow things like this to knock us off our feet, but we just keep pressing forward, Lord. We do thank you for the opportunity that you're giving us with this Albanian Bible Project, and, you know, it's crazy to think that we're a small church in the middle of a cow field, and you're allowing us to have a major impact with, you know, a nation in getting the Bible to them on time, and for whatever reason, you're asking us to do it, and only us, and so I pray that we take that seriously, and Lord, we know that, you know, if we're faithful with least, you're going to allow us to be faithful with much, so I pray that we can just make time in our lives for that. We just pray for the different things that are coming up, and the volleyball ministry, there's just a ton of guests, and there's just so many things to be thankful for, and I just pray that you allow us to keep our heads on straight so that we can be a good witness to you, because God forbid, you know, we invite all these people in and then we make a fool of ourselves. So I pray that you are just manifest in our lives daily, and it starts with being in the book daily. So speak to us today as we get back into the book of Acts. I'm excited, and so I pray you just speak to us. Just do pray for just Kathy, just the Gibson's neighbor, and, you know, it sounds like things are going well with the cancer treatments, but I do pray that, you know, the biopsies come back well, that you would just make yourself manifest in that situation. Also pray for Chris's Uncle Joe, and if there's a way that you could allow things to work out for your good in that situation and for his health, that you would allow that to happen as well. And so, Lord, just speak to us today in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, if you have your Bibles, open up to Acts chapter 11. It's been several weeks since we've been in Acts, and so that's where we're going to pick back up, and we're going to press forward. We're moving forward. Everything's going good. But I do want to remind everybody, class was pretty full last week, praise the Lord. You guys know, I like it when everybody's here, but, you know, numbers aren't a thing to me. I honestly don't really care. I hope everybody gets the word, but I don't care how you get it. I don't care if you listen to it online or anything else. But anyway, I say all that to say, it was pretty full last week, but there were several people that I see that are in here this week that weren't here last week. Because if everybody was here on the same week, I guess we're going to have to, I don't know what we're going to do. So we'll figure it out. God, that's a... Yeah, sit on the floor and, yeah, anyway. So I say all that to say, I did kind of the past point vision for 2026 last week. And I don't want to go back and redo that. I don't want to draw it out for several weeks. But I want you to know that if you weren't here, God's got a plan for where we're going. We're headed somewhere. I'm serious about it. My wife's serious about it. And, you know, I think that there's a lot of people that are grabbing a hold of it. And so if you weren't here, jump on the podcast. You can get it on the website or you can get it on the podcast and listen to it, because I'm not going to go back and reteach it. But you probably want to know what we're doing and where we're going. I really am serious about it. We're pressing somewhere. And if you want to be a part of it, you might want to know what it is. And so I just throw all that out there. Listen to it. You know, real quick, if you're looking for a phrase, the thing that we're going to hang to this year in Past Point moving forward, the theme for HBF in 2026 is so. You know, and I was trying to figure out how that tied into us, and, you know, go back and listen to last week, but sow the book. Sow the book is what I'm holding to this year. And we got to sow the book in us first, because if you don't, you have no business sowing it anywhere else. And, you know, I'll just say it. You know, a lot of people won't say that. They'll say, oh, you need to know, if you're not getting it in first, you really don't have no business doing anything else. Ministry, evangelism, any of those things. And so, yeah, you should, but you should be doing this too. And so anyway, go back and get that. I don't want to reteach it. So, but that's important. You really should go back and hear it. Okay. So, week one of the reading plans, I don't really want to spend a ton of time on this, but, how did that go? Did everybody liking it, right? And so if you want in on that and you don't know what I'm talking about, catch me after class. We're reading through the Bible in a year, as we've done in years past, but we're using a tool to go along with it. It's Mark Trotter's 52 Weeks. You don't have to read the book with it. It just kind of helps, you know, bring some things out. And so if you want to. If you don't, I get it. It's totally fine. You know, but the goal is to be in the Word daily. And so what I'm really excited about is, as a class, we're reading the same things every day. And so when something comes up, we're just like, hey, I got a question about that. Like, what's going on? Or when I reference things, just because I've been reading them, you kind of catch the reference and things like that. And so that's kind of what I enjoy about it. I did encourage you last week that if you get behind for whatever reason, you know, again, I'm not making excuses for people this year. I've done it in years past. You know, oh, I get it. Life happens. No, I don't. I really don't get it. Jesus is preeminent in our life. And, yeah, life happens, but, so does Jesus. And so make time. That's my encouragement to you. But anyway, if for whatever reason you get behind, don't get into this. Well, I guess I got to catch up. Just pick up on the day that we're on. And so that you can be where everybody else is and moving forward. And if you want to read today's and then go back and read what you missed, because inevitably we're like, well, I'm going to read those 2 days that I missed and then I'm going to catch up, and you don't. And so read today's and then go back and catch what you missed if you have time, but stay where we're at moving forward. That's my encouragement to you. Okay. So, getting back to the book of Acts, I can already tell we're not going to get as far as I need to, but that's okay. So the book as a whole, it's a transitional book. We started it towards the beginning of last year. We made it through the first 10 chapters, which is a good spot. I really hope we can get through the rest of the book this year. I'm going to move a little more briskly as we go, but we'll see. But anyway, it's a transitional book. Jesus had just died. He left. He commissioned the apostles to take this and do something with it. You know, they get the Holy Ghost and they take it and they run with it and go back and, you know, listen to all the different teaching on the first 10 chapters. But, you know, where we left off was, we're really at this transition point where we're starting to transition from everything being Jewish-centric, everything being to the Jews, right? And now we're talking about going to the Gentiles. And in chapter 10, that's what happened. God came to Peter and he's like, hey, there's a guy who's sending some people for you, Cornelius. You need to go with them. And, you know, in that, he gave him the whole sheet coming down with different animals on it. And, you know, basically, what don't call what I call clean unclean. And because that's what Peter's like, well, I don't want to do that, Lord. That's unclean and I'm not supposed to eat with Gentiles. And God laid all that out before he ever even came, right? And so that whole thing happened, and we spent several weeks going through chapter 10, because if you can't understand Acts chapter 10, you're never going to understand the rest of the book. It's going to be foreign to you. And so I think we spent enough time on that. And so we ended chapter 10 with Peter goes to Cornelius' house with some other guys with him. He gets there, and they're like, okay, you're here, now go. And he's like, well, what am I here for? And they didn't even really know, and so he just shares the gospel with them. What do you know? They get saved. The Holy Ghost falls on them. You know, and that's kind of how the chapter ends. They get saved, they get baptized, and, you know, they ask him to stay for a while and, you know, maybe teach him a little few things. And that's how it ends. And that's kind of how we ended before we went into Christmas and New Year's and whatnot. But then chapter 11 happens, right? And which inevitably 11 comes after 10, and that's what happens. But, you know, you have to chronologically put these things in order or they don't really make sense. And at the same time, we're not just reading it for the story of what happened 2,000 years ago, right? We're reading it in a sense of, what does this have to do with me today? Because if you can't make the Bible apply to you today, then you're never going to really grab it and take it personally. You're just going to think it's a storybook of things that happened a long time ago. And that's the opposite of what it is. These things did happen a long time ago, but they have everything to do with your life today, and that's what we're going to talk about. So, you know, what should have been a great opportunity for Peter to come back to Jerusalem and tell everybody what had just happened. Like, it was crazy. He was the first Jew that was called to go to the Gentiles. And not only was he called to go and to share, but they accepted it. And what should have been this awesome opportunity for Peter to get back and to tell his story, you know, turns into an interrogation before he even knows what's happened. Right? Before he even gets back on the ground, it turns into interrogation. What God was using for good, the devil was trying to destroy. What do you know about that? That's basically the theme of the Bible. The theme of the Bible, you'll learn in D2, is a king and his kingdom, right? And basically, God is working to establish a kingdom on this earth for now, and, you know, in eternity, forever. But, you know, the devil doesn't want any part of that. And so it's kind of like this epic battle between what God is doing and how Satan is counteracting it, you know, and we play into those events every day. you know, but we know the end of the story, and so we don't have to stress on it because I already know who wins. You know, it's kind of like seeing the greatest action movie, but you already know the end of it. So you're really not, it's not that suspenseful because I already know how it is. I know the good guy wins. And so, but that's okay. But that's what's going on here. What God was using for good, getting the gospel to the Gentiles, the devil's already trying to destroy it, because if he can sow doubt in what was happening, you know, it would have confused what was moving forward. But the devil is always found in the details. And your life as well, by the way. You know, if I was to ask you where you struggle with sin the most in your life, it's probably not some big outward area, right? The devil knows he can find his way into the details, right? To find his way in the small things. On surface level, this story seems pretty uneventful. He comes back, people are like, hey, so explain to me how this happened. And he basically explains how it happened. And they're like, oh, okay, cool, right? And we read it and we're just kind of like, okay, well, why is this eventful? But when you look at the details, you see the devil, he's working overtime to sow all kinds of discord and just something super basic. So what we need to see today is, my notes first, how he was doing it. So we can identify it and protect ourselves from the same things. Because the same things that I see in Acts chapter 11, I see, I'm not even just going to say in the church, I'm going to say I see at HBF at times. Right? In our church. And so the same things that I see here. And so we have to know how to identify it and how to protect ourselves from the same things. So what we're going to see today, and probably next week because I'm not going to get done, but what we're going to see is three ways that the devil uses to kill a church. Just right here. And obviously, I promise, he's got much larger of an arsenal than three ways, but there's three ways right here. And these are the three that I'm going to look at, and there's probably hundreds of others, but these are the three that I see right here in Acts chapter 11 in the first 18 verses. So, let's just read the first few verses. I'm not going to read the whole thing because he basically recounts the story, but let's just pick it up in Acts chapter 11 verse 1. It says, "And the apostles and brethren," so these guys are back at Jerusalem, right? "And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God." You know, I've always read that as, "and when the apostles," but that's not what it says. It says, "and they did," right? They heard what had happened in with Cornelius. They heard, right? The rest of the Jewish clan, they heard what had happened. We don't know how they heard. I can make assumptions, but we don't know. And then verse 2. "And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision," meaning the Jews, right? We understand that was the sign of the Jewish people throughout the entire Old Testament. We're just now transitioning into the New Testament. We're 11 chapters into it, even though your Bible says it starts at the beginning of Matthew. Well, we can address that later in D2 if you want. But anyway, we're only 11 chapters into what the New Testament is. And so, you know, it says, "they that were of the circumcision," meaning the Jews, "they contended with him, saying, thou wentest in to men uncircumcised and didst eat with them. Like, they're accusing this guy just right off the bat. He doesn't get a word in edgewise, right? About what had happened and why it had happened. And they're on his case. "But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded unto it by order unto them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa," and he basically, from verse 5 all the way down to verse 16, he recounts what had happened. How he was just hanging out in Joppa, and, you know, God shows him in a vision that this was going to happen, and then it actually happened, and, you know, he recounts the whole thing. I'm not going to read it to you because we read it twice in the chapter before, and so you guys know what had happened. God said, hey, this is what's going to happen. He was obedient to go, even when other people didn't understand, and he went, and God blessed the whole thing. So, he gets back, and that's kind of the gist of what is going on here. And so I said there's three ways that the devil uses to kill a church. And the first one we see in the first couple of verses here is gossip. It's gossip. You know, you can call it gossip. You can call it slander. You can call it word on the street. You can call it whatever you want to call it. I don't really care, right? You know, we all got different words for it. It's all the same thing. It's all the same thing. Somebody's talking about another person or other people without their knowledge, all while they only know part of the story. But man, they're telling it like they were there, right? They're telling it like they were firsthand knowledge, and they might be, you know, who knows? You know, and you might say, well, why is this such a big deal? Because the truth is only one thing, right? And a half-truth is a full lie. And what happens when we start spreading full lies around the church about other people is it destroys lives. It destroys marriages. It destroys ministries. And we can't be any part of it. James chapter 3, flip over there real quick. We all know this passage, but man, you can't really talk about this without seeing what James has to say about this. James chapter 3, starting in verse 2. It says, "For in many things we offend all." He's talking to brothers in Christ. "If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man." Meaning, if you're somebody who can keep your tongue in all situations, you might as well be perfect. "And able to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Behold also the ships, which, though they be so great, and yet are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a great member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members," our members meaning body parts, but he's also talking about members in the body of Christ, "in our members, that it defileth the whole body. And setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and serpents, and things of the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not be so. Doth a fountain send forth the same place sweet and bitter? Can a tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can nobody yield, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh," right? He just goes on and he's basically saying gossip in a church. I mean, gossip anywhere, but I'm limiting this to here. We're here for a reason, right? Gossip in a church, it's like a wildfire, right? You know, you see these wildfires on TV, and you're like, "Oh, why didn't they just put some water on it?" Right? I look at that, and I'm just like, I mean, they're pretty close to the ocean. It seems like that's where these things are always at. You would think that they have the resources to take care of what's going on here. But again, we just don't understand the way that the wind fuels the fire. Anyway, gossip in a church is very similar to that. Once it starts, you just can't stop it. Like, no matter who you have, you can have the most trained people in the world to take care of something like this. And man, it takes a long time to get it to even slow down, let alone stop. Peter hadn't even made it back to Jerusalem, and the rumors started flowing, right? Did you hear what Peter did? Right? He's eating with the Gentiles. He's telling them about our God. This is blasphemy, right? This is what these guys are thinking, right? It's funny. We look at it and we're like, that's funny that they would even, you know, it's funny, right? Until it happens here. Until it's about you. Until it's about your family or your kids, right? About your ministry. Wow, that's not so funny anymore. Don't think for a second HBF is out of the reach of the devil, by the way. Sometimes we get this thought of, you know, we're pretty holy around here. We wouldn't allow this to happen. Right, we do the Lord's Supper every quarter. We all evaluate ourselves as we should, and you know, praise the Lord. I really do think HBF as a whole is very. There's a lot of unity, but man, I personally know of detrimental things that are going on inside the church, inside families of the church. Why? Because the devil got a foothold. I don't think less of any person. Like I know marriages that are falling apart. Why? Because the devil got a foothold. Because he's in the details, and if we don't take care of it daily in the Word, then that's what's going to happen. That's why we're so serious about the Word of God. HPF is not out of the reach of the devil. If anything, we're in more of a microscope because we're getting something done. Like, we're, for whatever reason, the only church that's going to have anything to do with assembling a brand new Bible translation that actually makes sense to the Albanian people, right? Yeah, they're using who knows what, and yet we have a translation that is a word. It's a words first. I'm not going to say word for word, but it is a words first translation, right? And you can go back and listen to the Bible conference from 2 years ago when Arion explained how he was actually doing that, right? Because he was in the process of doing it then. And so if you want to know what that's all about, but you don't think the devil is like, hey, I probably ought to get something happening there to get people's minds off of the main thing, right? Don't think for a second that we're out of the reach. So then what do you do? Because this is something that, you know, we probably should address. There will be times that you come across something that seems off. You see something that seems not quite right, whether it's in a relationship. You see something that, you know, in this case, you know, Peter is hanging out with the Gentiles, and that hadn't been a good thing up to this point. What do you do in a situation like that? Because, you know, you don't just turn a blind eye to something. So what do you do? There is a biblical way to handle things like this, right? You just tell everybody, except those that were involved, what you saw, right? No. That seems like that's what everybody wants to do. They want to go and be like, man, did you hear and did you see? And you'll tell everybody except for the person who actually was doing it so that they have a chance to explain themselves. You know, because a lot of times Brian's been talking about this, and it's interesting that he's been talking about this because I've actually been thinking these things for the last several months is, you know, they used to say a picture's worth 1,000 words, right? If you could see a picture of something, then it was proof. And nowadays, you see a picture of something, and I'm more, especially if it's a picture of something that doesn't seem right, I'm more likely to not believe it, right? Because of the way that the AI and all that stuff works, and don't ask me how it works, because, bro, I don't know. I'm just telling you that the devil works in the details. And so what do you do in a situation like that? You've got two options, right? You've got two options. You do nothing. Because, well, it has nothing to do with you in the first place. And it really isn't like a huge sin issue. You just, like, if it doesn't involve you, and it doesn't defile your conscience, whatever it is that you saw, and you know that there's, it wasn't like a huge sin issue, let me just tell you, the first and probably main thing you should do is nothing. It's not your business. Stay out of it. Right? It has nothing to do with you. But, if you're offended, maybe you saw something, you came across something that's like, man, that just offends my conscience, right? For whatever reason. Okay, well, you can't just do nothing at that point. Biblically, you can't do it nothing. So what do you do at that point? You just go start telling people, right? Well, man, I saw this, and this person posted this on Facebook, and I can't believe this happened, and what should I do? And no, that's not what you should do, right? If you're offended by what you saw or heard, you address it biblically with Matthew 18, right? The Bible is very clear how to address things like this, right? Matthew 18. I've got some teaching points to go through as we go through this. There's three main points, you know, how the devil uses it to kill a church. But teaching point one, if you want to write it down, Matthew chapter 18 is fire-stopping for gossip in the church. Matthew 18 is like fire retardant for gossip in the church, right? And we don't have a ton of time. I guess we can go there. Matthew 18, the flip over there, we probably should, because somebody needs to hear this. I don't know why, but I feel like somebody needs to hear this. So, if you've heard it, you've heard it, but that's fine, because I promise this is something that you don't outdo. You don't outgrow this one. We do a lot of different counseling at different times with people for different reasons, whether it's marriage counseling, life counseling, different things, and, you'd be surprised, Matthew 18 gets brought up in nearly every counseling situation that we have. And there's a reason. Matthew 18, let me find it. Verse 15. Matthew 18, 15. It says, moreover, if thy brother, meaning somebody in the church, shall trespass against thee or offend thee, is what we're getting at. Maybe they said something, maybe they didn't say something that you expected them to say. For whatever reason, if you're offended, Matthew 18, 15 is where you start. Okay? If there's an offense to your conscience, that's where you start. Go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. That's interesting, because what I see is people go tell everybody else except for the person. If there is something that has happened that has, for whatever reason, defiled your conscience, and you're just like, I just can't let this go. Okay, there's a reason that God has given us a conscience, right? Go and address it with that person is what it says. It doesn't say anyone else. It says go and talk to them alone. Let me find where I was at. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. You will find out that probably 95% of the time, this right here takes care of the entire situation. It's almost always a misunderstanding. I've said things teaching before that obviously I didn't mean to say. Sometimes I get to talking fast, and you know, I'll say things. I've said things that have come across in a way, and people have taken it and they've taken offense to it and let it go for months. When eventually, you know, they're just like, hey, this happened, and I just don't, and I'm just like, wow, I have no idea that that's what I said. And if that's what I said, and I believe you, because typically it's on recording, it's not what I meant. I absolutely apologize. And you'll just find out this, like, wow, I could have just like said that the next day and this would have just not been a deal. And instead we let it fester. It becomes a root of bitterness. And you know, we've talked about that. Instead we've got these full blown bitterness trees living in our life, right? And it's not just about a root anymore. And so you'll find out that this will take care of the situation. Oh, wow. I get it. Like, that was your sister that you were with at Walmart. I thought it was, right, somebody else. I was going to go tell your wife that you were with some other lady at Walmart, or, you know, whatever. You just don't ever know. Whatever it is. You'll find out that almost always this takes care of it. Verse 16, but if he will not hear thee, okay, well then here's some more instructions. Take with thee one or two more, that the mouth of two or three witnesses everywhere may be established. Okay. If they're just like, no, you're wrong. Okay, well, I'm really not wrong. I know what the Bible says. So you take a couple witnesses and you address the situation, okay? And then it goes on to say, we don't have time to keep going, but it goes on to say that, hey, you know, if they still won't hear at the mouth of two or three witnesses, then you take it to the church, the quote-unquote church. You take it to a pastor, and then the pastoral team at HBF, we have a way to deal with things like that. Somebody who's just openly in sin that doesn't want to address it. And so it doesn't have to be on you anymore. But typically, this isn't how we deal with things. Typically, we hear something, we see something, and we're just like, we just let it consume us, and we just go tell everybody, and it just turns into a massive wildfire before we even know it. If the church had remembered if the early church had remembered what Jesus had taught them how to handle the offense situation, it would have been completely different. They would have been like, wait a minute, I remember Jesus talking about this, right? And we could have handled this differently, but they didn't. They were just like, Peter, you were with the Gentiles. You're not even supposed to eat with them, and you're taking the gospel to them, and what is happening, right? We're going to have to find a new leader. Teaching point two. Someone who allows someone to gossip to them is equally as a sin as the person gossiping. I'll say that again, because somebody needs to hear that. Someone who allows someone to gossip to them is equally as in sin as the person gossiping. If somebody comes to you and they're just like, oh my gosh, have you heard about, and you know, as soon as you realize, this has nothing to do with you and it definitely has nothing to do with me. I'll stop people. Hey, hang on a minute. Is this directly related to me? Because if not, I don't need to know. I don't want to know. Right? It protects me. I don't want to know. There are a lot of things that are going on in different situations that I just don't want to know the details, because it keeps me pure and clean. You know, and so with our kids, we used to always have this thing, you know, they would come and, Mom, and you know, they'd be whining, or, you know, and it's like, my brother did, and Paige would always do this. I wasn't as good about it as she was, but she would say, hang on, are you tattling or are you reporting? Are you tattling or are you reporting something that I need to know about? Right? And you help them start to understand this, because when people are running around talking about, oh, did you hear? You know, a lot of times here's what we do in the church, because we're a little extra holy. We don't just say, hey, did you hear? We say, hey, I heard about this thing and I'm going to need you to pray about it. And then that's our way of like disguising, hey, I need you to pray about this thing. Right? And then we just spill it all out there. I'm like, I don't need to pray about that at all. It has nothing to do with me. Right? And so, just understand, just don't allow it. Don't allow it in your life. Because if you allow it in your life, you've become part of the problem instead of the solution, right? The best way to stop a fire, these kind of crazy thoughts right here, but is to stop it at its source when it's small. You know, it's easy to say, oh, it's just a small fire, it's not that big of a deal. I can put it out whenever I want. But then it gets so big that we can't put it out. And it's grown so large that there's like no way to stop it. The best way to stop a fire, to stop a whatever it is, some sort of gossip or something running around, is to just be like, no, I don't need to hear that. And by the way, you don't need to be telling people that. And you might be like, well, I don't have the authority to say that. Actually, you do. You have the Word of God. Right? And when somebody's out of line, it's okay for you to call a brother or sister out. Right? And it says right there in the Word, if they'll receive it, you've gained a brother. Yeah, that's what we need to do. And so I've got two more that we really need to get into, but we don't have time. But, you know, the best way to stop a fire is to stop it at its source. So don't allow it to go. There's really some good stuff. I really wanted to get to the third one, and we'll get to it next week. But, you know, there's some things here that, like, I see in the church today. I see, talking about identity, and, you know, we'll get to it next week. Come back. But there are things that, I mean, the next 2 points, they're huge for our lives today, our church today. And so we need to make sure that we identify these so we can put them out. So let's pray. I know there's a lot of people that need to get to the ministry and whatnot, and we'll get out of here. We'll pick up the next 2 points next week, and we'll move forward from there. Father, I love you. I thank you for today. I thank you for being good to us, Lord. I thank you for your Word. I just thank you for, there's so many people involved in what we're doing with reading through the Bible this year in Passpoint, and I pray that you would just allow us to stay faithful to you. It really has nothing to do with staying faithful to a plan, Lord. You're asking us to be faithful to you, to hear from you daily. And so I pray that you would just allow the groups to encourage one another, not to become a, you know, why aren't you reading or this, that, or the other? But God, we would just really encourage people with what we're reading in the Word, and that you would just get the glory for all of it. So I just pray you speak to us today as Brian gets back into the vision update for the church. And I'm excited to hear from that. And I just pray that you would just allow us to be the lights in a dark world each and every day, and that we would just be more like you and make sure to give you all the glory and not steal any of it for ourselves. In Christ's name, amen.